let me make sure we get these.
We're still waiting for one or two more people for quorum. I just want to announce or say that my boss has been telling me that I make two mistakes all the time, so I'm going to try to correct them right now. Number one mistake is I don't call for alternates to come forward. So we're going to do that in 2 seconds. I'll correct my first mistake. Will alternates please come forward to be seated? The second mistake I've been making is I've been allowing people to speak and they're not at the microphone. So you are just as guilty as I am with the second mistake. Please, when you speak, come to the mics and you'll say, oh, well, I can be heard. I have an Alfred E. Smith voice. I can be heard anywhere. These meetings are recorded. And you'll say, oh, I didn't know that. Well, they're recorded for the purposes of taking the minutes and purposes of transcribing things for the next meeting. So please, when you speak, don't make me look bad. Come to the microphone. And if you don't, I'm going to have to be in a very abrasive tone tell you, come to the mic. Four. Okay, we do have quorum, so let's get started. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Up, we have.
I would like to make an amendment for new business, A, for UFC elections, and B, motion for Andrew Goodman.
Okay. Any discussion on the two additions? Seeing none, all in favor of the amended agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Nay? All right, the motion passes. Next is the item number two, approval of the Academic Senate meetings of February 5th. Okay, all in favor? Opposed? None? It also passes. Item number three, announcements, administrative reports, memorials. Let's start out with announcements.
Hello. Hi, everyone. My name is Tiffany Brown. I am the project coordinator for NYPIRG. And last academic senate meeting, I was asking a lot of the professors to allow NYPIRG to come in to talk to your classes about Higher Education Action Day. And I'm just here to say thank you for all the professors that did allow NYPIRG to come in. We had a really successful Higher Education Action Day. We had over 300 students from across the state go up to Albany to lobby their elected officials about SUNY and CUNY tuition, making it more affordable, as well as hiring full-time faculty. And if it was not because of the professors and students going up to Albany and making sure that their voices were heard, we could not have done it. It was one of our greatest turnouts in the last 6 years. So I want to say thank you to the Academic Senate for allowing me to make the announcement, also the professors allowing me and my colleagues to come in and talk to your classes. Also, a great shout out to student government. Raj, the president, he was there, and it was a great, great turnout, so I want to say thank you. And also, we probably will be in your classrooms next week because, you know, the fight continues for higher education affordability, so definitely, just like you opened the doors for us last time for Higher Education Action Day, I definitely encourage you guys to open the door one more time so we can make sure that we could get some higher education affordability and more financial aid for students, so thank you.
I'm Chris Vickery. I'm speaking as the liaison to CUNY Pathways. The CUNY Central has announced that they are reviewing the Pathways structure. They've made some small changes already. They're now inviting anyone to make suggestions about Pathways, how you might want to change it. There's a form to fill out where you describe what you want to see changed. It's on the Pathways website. There, at the front of the room, there's a sheet where I printed out the link to the Pathways website. And the form, you have to find the word here, not indicated in any way, but that's where you click to get to this form. It's not the easiest thing, but it's there. So we're already aware that there are a couple of other colleges making recommendations that you might want to think about, whether you want to weigh in favor or opposed or have alternative ideas. For example, we know that there are people who are recommending that the life and physical sciences requirement be eased so that students can take a separate lab course with extra credit, as most lab courses have been done. So that's something that if you're in favor of or opposed, you could weigh in on it. The other is, some of you may or may not realize, but the college option structure is a mess. Students come in and they have different numbers of these courses satisfied, depending on what their background is. And I know at least one other college which is proposing that the college option structure be changed so that students have to take four college option courses no matter what their background is, so that they get a full mark of the graduating institution. So the only other thing I can add about this is that no deadline has been announced for submitting suggestions. I would simply act quickly if you want to be heard. Thank you.
Megan Healy, Drama, Theater, and Dance. I just wanted to announce that the spring production of Three Penny Opera by Bertolt Brecht will be presented in the Goldstein Theater starting next week. It's a very exciting musical. It's not really an opera, it's more of a rock and roll kind of musical. And it's a collaboration between the Drama, Theater, and Dance Department and the School of Music. We have a number of really excellent students, undergraduate and graduate, as well as our faculty, designers, and some wonderful guest artists who are participating. And it's a fusion of 1980s New York and 1880s London. So I really recommend that you check it out. And I believe that the ticket price for students is $10 with your QC ID. And faculty, you can order your tickets through the Colden and Kupferberg Center box office. And coming up after spring break is our adaptation of Pierre Corneille's The Lyre, which will be presented in Performance Space M11 in Rathaus Hall. And we end the year with our student choreography showcase, but I'll point that out later. So I'll put this handy flyer up front for anyone who wants it, but we hope that you will come and join us. Thanks so much.
Further announcements? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go to our
Stephen Grover, philosophy. I regret to announce the passing of Hillel Gildin a week ago today. He retired from the college in 2013, and he was born in 1929. So if you can do the math quickly enough, you'll realize that he taught here to an extremely great age. And one of the privileges, I think, of having extremely ancient professors is that you reach very far back. In his case, he was born in 1929 in Byelorussia, Jewish family, fled the Nazis, came here. He attended the University of Chicago in the mid-1950s, probably the intellectual crucible of the Cold War, one might say. He was a pupil of Leo Strauss. He was one of the last of the Straussians. He did his PhD in 1962. He'd come to this college the year before. He taught here on the full-time faculty from 1961, when he began as a lecturer, $6,300 a year, according to his appointment paper. And he retired in 2013. So he taught at this college for 52 years. And if you think of the number of people who passed through his classes, and they were subjected to this extraordinary rigorous bath, if you like, in the Western tradition, the Western intellectual tradition. Now, his trajectory after that is fairly predictable. He came here in 1961, representative of, so to speak, the dead white man tradition in college education. And the 60s blew a great hole through that. And I think he spent a great deal of his intellectual effort subsequently fighting a rearguard action. One of that was to establish honors in the Western tradition here at Queen's College with a very large grant from the National Endowment of Humanities, strong support from conservatives like Irving Kristol in the application package. And the other thing he did was found a Straussian journal interpretation, which still exists. I cleared out the office that it had in King Hall. It was like a sort of museum of the 70s, really, of the intellectual struggles that began at that time. He retired in 2013, as I say. He collapsed last Halloween. He was found by my colleague, Alberto Cordero. He's basically in hospital since then. The first thing he asked for in hospital was the two volumes of the Phaedo that he was working on at the time, the Greek and the English translation. So he was a representative, one of the last representatives or contacts with that great emigre intellectual generation from Middle Europe. And a very considerable figure in a way, minor, but still considerable, especially in the context of this college. That's all I have to say about it. Thank you.
Can I ask the Senate to please stand for a moment of silence? Thank you very much. Any further announcements, memorials, reports? Okay, seeing none, the next item on the agenda is the guest speaker. Well, today we have a trio of guest speakers, and the topic is Middle States. Move over Rome, I have the pleasure of announcing the third triumvirate, Professors Steve Schwartz, Chris Vickery, and Tony Gonzalez.
We're just waking up the computer. Actually, I drew the short straw, so I'm the one of the three who will speak, but the other two will answer the hard questions. Is there a PowerPoint? So we're here to talk to you today about the Middle States Project and the self-study, thank you very much, that we'll be spending the next 2 years working on. Already many people in this room are involved. It involves students, faculty, and staff formed into committees and working groups studying most every aspect of the college and how we can improve. Tony, Chris, and I are liaisons to the Collaborative Implementation Project of Middle States, and therefore we are also the chairs of the steering committee of the Middle States effort. And that naturally leads to the first question, what is Middle States? So the Middle States Commission is about 100 years old. It accredits roughly 500 institutions serving roughly 5 million students. There are seven such agencies. Middle States doesn't just serve the Middle Atlantic, though. It has many international institutions. And like most of the agencies that do accreditation, they require every institution every 10 years to produce a large report. And that report is carefully studied, and external reviewers come to campus after reading it, and after those discussions, we hope that we're accredited. Now, last year, 53, about a tenth of the institutions were submitted reports, and 14 of them received warnings. It was actually a good year in that regard. That was a small number. And several others had follow-up activities. We don't want to be in that category. Word always seems to get out, and accreditation is very important. But we're not motivated by fear, because we always do well. We're motivated by the opportunities that this process presents to us. So what are the benefits? The first, of course, is that we're accredited, which we need to be if we want, for example, to give our students financial aid. And I think we can assume we'll reach that goal. But there are other benefits. One is that the standards that Middle States asks us to address are all geared at supporting students. And they're exactly the standards we want to aspire to. So it's a good exercise to check to see that we're meeting the highest possible standards. Next is, as you might well assume, every now and then it's good to take a look back at the last few years and say, how are we doing? What can we do better? The college has a strategic plan. The campus came together to develop an, I think, excellent plan, but now it's time to see how it's working. Middle States cares a lot about that particular issue, so we need to be sure that our planning process is running smoothly and it just makes sense. The committees, which you can join, we have a sign-up sheet here. You should come running up at the end of the session. We'll be gathering data that will prove to be important for the college for any number of reasons. The committees, in addition to checking to see if we've met the standards, will be developing recommendations for improvement. And I will show you the recommendations shortly that came out of the self-study 10 years ago. A point that Middle States likes to make, and that we've certainly noticed here, the future leaders of the campus always seem to have participated in these committees. So it's a great place to meet really interesting people, a wide range of people, to learn about the college, and to be motivated to do more. And then finally, Middle States really does represent our interests. You've seen at the K-12 level how Congress and the states are trying to manage the system to insist on testing and a one-size-fits-all regimen. But the accrediting agencies in Middle States in particular have fought for the idea that every institution is unique and needs to have the freedom to pursue its goals and its special mission. And we're very grateful for that, and they do this very well, but in part the reason they can do this is because they're very demanding in the standards process. So if you want to look at the previous self-study, go to the provost website and hover over the word assessments, and then click on Middle States. And you can read not only that last self-study, but the periodic review report that came out just 3 years ago that described how we did on each of the recommendations that we had made. I have a list of the 40 or so recommendations here. I won't describe them in any detail, but you can see they all touched on important issues for the college, and you can read about how that self-study drove real improvement in each of these areas. So we've been told by Middle States this was way too many recommendations, although we addressed them all. So this time around, probably there would be about half as many if we had to guess. The collaborative implementation project, Middle States has a new set of standards. They've reduced the number from 14 to 7, and so they're piloting them now. The of the 53 institutions that have a accreditation event in 2017, they picked 15 who had been commended for their prior work and who represented a range of different types of institutions. So you see on this list our neighbors Bard and Montclair State. You see Rochester Institute of Technology and the University of Maryland, and then some smaller schools. And we'll be working with them. One of the things this means is that we have to keep to the schedule. It will be very embarrassing if we fall behind the other institutions. So far, we're doing okay. So this is the timeline, but I've outlined in red the activities of the working groups, because you can join a working group now by volunteering. We can't guarantee you would get on a group that you volunteered for. Some of them are nearly full, but we hope that you'll volunteer, and I think most of volunteers will be placed on a group. So these groups may meet once or twice this semester, only to strategize. But in the fall, that's when 90% of their work will take place. Documents will be assembled over the summer, the documents they've requested, and they'll begin their research into each of the criteria identified in the standard that that working group is addressing. So the standards are described well by this now famous sentence or sentences, which I'll read. It says, a higher education institution has a mission, that's standard one, lives it with integrity, standard two, to enhance the student learning experience, standard three, and support the overall student experience, standard four. That institution assesses its success in achieving that mission, standard five, engages in planning to strengthen its resources and improve, that's standard six, by means of an effective governing process, standard seven. Now, we actually have eight working groups. We have one group for each of these standards, and then we have a group that addresses the requirements of affiliation, the federal regulations that we have to comply with, which is actually an interesting group. It looks at issues like Title IX and Title IV compliance. So here's an example. If you go to the website that we'll show you in a moment, to the Middle States website, of the first standard and the criteria associated with it. And just reading through it, the criteria might seem a bit generic. But if you think about it, what they're saying is, what are our learning goals? Have we, in our writing program, in our general education program, in our majors, do we define our learning goals acceptably? What are the goals for the college? Are we able to measure them? And this ties in with the strategic plan. This is a committee that still has room. So that's just as an example. And as I mentioned, these are the eight working groups, one for each standard, one for compliance, group eight. So that pretty much concludes the presentation. There is, as of yesterday, thanks to Chris Vickery, a website for the Middle States effort at Queens College. You can see the link here, and we'll post it on the provost site as well. MSCHE, Middle States Commission on Higher Education, .org, has the main documents. And finally, if you don't get a chance to sign up on the sheet here on the desk, please do come and see Tony, Chris, or me, or email us, and we'll be happy to tell you what the possibilities are and how much you'll enjoy participating. Thanks very much.
Again, if you want to sign up, that sheet's up here.
Okay, no questions? Okay, I'm sure you're getting a lot of emails. Okay,
we're going to go to item number five, committee reports. The first committee report is the Graduate Curriculum Committee, minutes dated February 11th.
First, I ask that we make a modification to the committee report. On page one, under section two, media studies, A and B, the department requested that these be withdrawn. In fact, what they did was they put in revised requests at the last GCC meeting yesterday, and it'll come forward to the the Senate in April. So with deletions of 2A and 2B, I ask that you adopt the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated February 11th. Request unanimous consent.
Any objections? So moved. Okay. Item B under number 5, nominating committee.
Hi, I'm Marion Fish, chair of the Senate Nominating Committee. The committee recommends that the following individuals, whom we selected, be elected to the positions listed on here, and we ask for your unanimous approval.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Seeing none, motion passes.
Thank you.
Item number 6A, nominating committee election. The student seat on the nominating committee is open, and it's arts and humanities major. Yes.
Hi, everyone. Chris Labial, freshman sophomore representative, education representative on the nominating committee. I'd like to nominate Julia Giamatteo. She's a graphic design major at Queens College. She's a rising junior. And yeah, for arts and humanities, right?
Yes.
Sorry, okay.
Any further nominations? All right, we move. Nominations are closed. And one vote will be cast for Julia Giamatteo. Very good. Item number 7, new business, A. Oh, we're going to. Okay, on this one is, again, we're back to the University Faculty Senate. And University Faculty Senate, this, there are 4 openings, and it'll come up in a minute. There are 2 candidates. While it's coming up, let me remind you that the Queens College contingent is 11 senators, and even if the 2 that are listed here are elected, we're still going to be 3 short. One of the things that happens with the University Faculty Senate, it allows 3 alternates, and one of those alternates, we already have an elected adjunct senator on the University Faculty Senate, so one of the alternates could be an adjunct. So if anyone in their department goes back and talks to someone who would want to serve on the University Faculty Senate, we still have 3 more openings for full time and 1 alternate position opened up for an adjunct senator. Any further nominations from the floor? Okay, seeing none, I ask the secretary to cast 1 vote for Dean Savage and Jack Zevin. All right, the last item on the agenda, and it is a motion on Andrew Goodman. I would ask the maker of the motion to come to the microphone.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and the motion is to award Andrew Goodman an honorary PhD posthumously at the Queens College commencement ceremony in May of 2015. Many of you might be aware that President Obama awarded 19 medals of freedom in November, and one of those medals was awarded to a Queens College student. Andrew Goodman is actually the only student in the history of the college who's been awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And we think that if the president awarded one of our own the highest civilian honor in the country, that our college couldn't do any less in terms of our distinctions. And the highest award that the college can bestow on an individual is an honorary PhD. So we think it's fitting that the college recognizes Andrew Goodman in this way in our commencement ceremony. a vote by the entire Senate would make the process smoother if we went by the traditional route of going to a subcommittee and then coming to the Senate. This would not be able to come up before the Board of Trustees in time for a vote for us to award the honorary PhD at commencement, and also to communicate with the Goodman family so that they could be represented at the ceremony in May. And you know, you can only do that after the Board of Trustees actually certifies that they will give the award. I think most of us are familiar here with the story of Andrew Goodman. Is a source of distinction here in the college. We've honored him physically in our campus at various commencement ceremonies too. Dr. Colin Goodman was honored in 96 for activism, and so we've continued that legacy and a number of our ceremonies, so we thought that it'd be fitting to do it in this way, and that's why I'm here presenting the motion.
Okay, before we do any further debate, can I take 1 second for an administrative message, I guess. We haven't done this in a while. Any senator can make a motion and bring it to the Senate. Any ex officio, that includes president, provost, deans, chief librarian, they can bring a motion to the Senate. Once the motion is brought forth, it's like any other motion. In our case, it would need 31 to pass. The motion can be passed, it could fail, it could be tabled, it could be sent back to committee. So these are all options that exist for this motion, just like any other motion. Further discussion.
Okay, I'm Susan Rotenberg. I'm chair of the subcommittee on honorary degrees. So this committee is the one that decides who should be a recipient of the degree. So honoris causa is an honorary degree. It's given to people who have a body of work, either as academics or even as celebrities. In the past, we've given honorary degrees to Jerry Seinfeld, Paul Simon. You could probably think of a few yourself. So it doesn't have to be an academic. With many years of academic research behind them. It could be someone who's benefited society in some significant way. So this isn't a deviation from the definition of the award.
Further discussion on the motion.
Motion for unanimous consent.
All in favor of unanimous consent? Any objections? Okay. All right, motion carries. Motion to adjourn, all in favor, good? Okay.